All right, hello everyone. I'm glad to be here and joined with Dustin and to have the next 20 minutes with you for this very exciting but very complex topic. And I think we could even fill whole classes with this topic. So we really need to focus on some specific parts. Just to set some expectations, this is not about AI. Maybe one of the few talks. But I think you can still see some connections to the keynote that we just heard. So without further ado, let's get started. So just as an introduction, as already introduced, we're working at USD. We are on the offensive side of things, mainly doing penetration testing, red teaming, helping our clients with vulnerability management. USD is actually doing more than that. We're also doing security consulting and security audits, but Dustin and myself are in the technical IT security realm. And our mission at USD is that we protect companies against hackers and criminals, and this is not an easy task. And in this task, we're constantly faced with the topic of finding vulnerabilities. And so in the first stage, we would like to set some basics for the later part of the talk. So we need to talk about some concepts. And what's really hard if you're talking about security assessments or finding vulnerabilities, you're always faced with what does quality actually mean? What are we actually optimizing for? And I really like this very basic and abstract model. If you think about finding a vulnerability, there are basically four possibilities. First one is a true positive, meaning that there is a vulnerability and you found it. That's great. That's what it's supposed to do. There is a true negative, so there is no vulnerability and there was no indication of a vulnerability. That's also great because the result is correct. And then we have false positives, which are very annoying because they produce a lot of work for companies and individuals, because you need to do all the research, you need to see where the problem is, just to find out that there is actually no problem and there is nothing wrong. So you spend a lot of time for nothing. But what's even worse, in my opinion, is false negatives, because those are risks that remain undiscovered. And therefore, in security assessments, we need to assess or we need to optimize in order to avoid false negatives and really make sure that we find all the vulnerabilities. So penetration testing is not about finding some vulnerabilities. It's not about optimizing for 80%. But you really want to ensure that you find all the vulnerabilities while still keeping false positives low. Second concept that we need to introduce, and this is also part of the title of the talk, we basically have to differentiate two different things. So first one being known vulnerabilities and unknown vulnerabilities. And in our definition, or just the definition for the talk, when we talk about known vulnerabilities, we mean vulnerabilities that have already been publicly disclosed, that were identified before, that there is some kind of documentation about it. And in a penetration test, from our offensive perspective, but also on the defender side, if you just have a piece of software, you can identify known vulnerabilities by looking up in databases, doing the research, while unknown vulnerabilities, for example, in a specific application that you develop yourself, you need to apply active test method, something like penetration testing, to actively hunt for those vulnerabilities. And for the purpose of this talk, we only want to focus on known vulnerabilities, since this is already challenging enough. Okay, so let's go into some more details. In an ideal world, if we look for vulnerabilities in a software, let's say we just picked some random example, let's say we want to see whether there are actually some vulnerabilities, we would use some kind of search engine, let's make it very abstract, and as a result, we would expect a list of vulnerabilities from a single authoritative source. Ideally, each vulnerability would have a unique identifier that we could use to look it up. It would have detailed information about what the vulnerability is about, how we can fix it, maybe even some indicators of compromise, you know, for the threat hunters, for the incident responders, forensics amongst us, for the defenders. Maybe some practical remediation advice. Is there actually an patch that I can install? Is there a proof of concept out there? What's the priority? Some kind of scoring, which I can use to really make sure that I'm fixing the right vulnerabilities, because there are just so many right now that you can't really you probably can't fix all of them immediately, so you kind of need to prioritize. And finally, ideally, we want to integrate this into our own tool set at companies and to have it machine readable using an API. Now, you can already tell from the title of this slide that we're not living in an ideal world, and the reality looks a little bit more like this. We try to collect all the different scores and databases and abbreviations. So I challenge each of you working in the field. Let's see if you can speak out all of the abbreviations on the slide. If you can, good job. But it's complex. So let's look at some in more detail. And the actual question is, if the vulnerability is already known, so it means someone has already discovered it, why is the information about this vulnerability so hard to access or to get? So we need to talk about some foundations. The foundation of our vulnerability ecosystem, let's call it like this, is of course CVE. So the common vulnerabilities and exposures, probably all of you have already heard that and you know the format. It's a CVE and then the year and then a number. And those IDs are issued by so-called CNAs, CVE numbering authorities, in order to have a unique identifier, and then NIST enriches this information with further details, for example, what it applies to, some scoring, etc. And the big challenge in this part is, it works kind of well, and it worked very well for a long time, but this system is struggling at the moment. And I brought you some statistics on the right. This is from the NVD, which is the National Vulnerability Database. They have a backlog, you can see it in the lower part of the slide, of more than 26,000 vulnerabilities or CVEs that are awaiting analysis. So those are CVEs that are registered, but the National Vulnerability Database, the team there is struggling to actually enrich this CVEs with the information that defenders really need in order to act upon those vulnerabilities. And it's not because they're not trying. You can see this in the upper part of the slide. They're working on more than 4,000 vulnerabilities per month. So I'm not saying they're doing a bad job. I'm just saying they're struggling to keep up with the increasing volume. And to be honest, this also has to do something with the structure and the organizational topics. Those are US government-funded institutions, and probably all of you can tell what this means nowadays, which means they're struggling to keep up the funding they have. They are experiencing funding cuts, which leads to increased analysis times, and it's just no longer a reliable or the single reliable source that we can use when it comes to vulnerability information. Second thing that is kind of the foundation of our vulnerability ecosystem is common platform enumeration. Just a show of hands, who of you knows CPE or has heard the term? Okay, quite some, maybe half of the room. All right, so CPE is a structured naming scheme in order to identify software and its version. And this is very important because if you find a vulnerability, you really want to make it very precise what this vulnerability applies to or to which software and which version it applies to. And the structure looks something like this. Again, we brought you the general structure in the top and the just an example in the bottom. And this is kind of a very good format. It's machine readable. You don't even need AI to automate things, which is great. But the problem is that it's not very user-friendly in a sense that if you just know the software name, it's not so easy to translate it, and there is even some confusion, so multiple CPEs are possible for the same product and version. Another thing is the central CPE database. Yes, there is a central CPE database, which is maintained by the NVD, and you can probably see where this is going. This has the same funding and structural issues that NVD has with the CVE database. So again, this is a foundation pillar when it comes to vulnerability management, but it's struggling at the moment with the amount of increasing vulnerabilities and the structures that we've established. Last piece in the foundation puzzle is we need a score. And probably let's do it again because I like it. Show of hands who knows CVSS. That's almost all of you. Perfect. So the Common Vulnerability Scoring System. It produces a score from 0 to 10. It's very easy. It only requires you, I think, to put in 8 to 10 variables. And in the base score, I'm only talking about the base score right now. And you know, it's great if when it comes to analyzing the technical impact. Of course, there is a lot of criticism because you're kind of, you know, always when you condense information, you're losing some kind of information. So sometimes it's hard to tell, and the number might be a little bit too high or a little bit too low. But in general, it's a nice scheme. But what it really lacks is some kind of the business impact. And it tells you kind of a technical severity, but it's not really super helpful when it comes to what the actual exploitability, what the risk, and maybe also this is important for the prioritization, what this is. So let's quickly look at some of the newer developments, and those were the challenges, and this is kind of the reaction to that. We're seeing increased data sources, meaning that new databases and projects get established. For example, there is the GitHub Security Advisories project, which is kind of a replicating the structure of the CVE database, but with their own data. They have a different approach, more community-driven, more open source, more transparent. There is the CISA Known Exploited Vulnerabilities Catalog, which is really trying to focus on the later part. So which vulnerabilities get really exploited in the wild. So as a defender, you should probably focus on those first. This also references the new scoring system, which is the Exploit Prediction Scoring System, EPSS, which is producing a value from 0 to 1 and kind of measuring the likelihood that this vulnerability is exploited in the wild. And we also see improvements in other areas. But this creates new challenges because now we have different scoring systems, as you've seen on the slide with the word cloud. We have different databases and we kind of need to match them together. And this brings us to our contribution to the solution. I think we cannot solve the whole problem, but we wanted to, you know, at least make a small contribution to the solution. And with this, I would like to hand it over to Dustin to get started with search rules.
Yes, thank you, Matthias. So, having discovered all of these challenges and problems, we then start developing our own tool eventually, because we didn't find one that actually solves these challenges to our needs. And the tool is called Search Phones, and it's based on like these 6 core principles, which first would be accuracy. As Matthias showed, we kind of only want to see the vulnerabilities that are relevant for us. So we would like to really minimize the false negatives and false positives and only get the results that we're looking for. The way that Search Phones kind of works in this way is that it uses the CP strings Matthias also described, and that enables it to be very accurate in comparison, for example, to text-based searches. What also kind of comes together with this accuracy part is consolidating multiple data sources to get like the most holistic view of the vulnerability landscape. As Matthias mentioned, the NVD is kind of lacking in this department, so you need to also include other databases. And then eventually, of course, kind of merge it down to like one final result for the end user. Important for us also was the third principle, to have an all-in-one tool that we can use in different situations for different use cases. For example, in a pen test, you might want to look up manually a software inversion that you found and then get results for that. Or also if you use a scanner for automated scanning, you also want to have your vulnerability checker in there. Of course, if you have this all-in-one tool and you rely on it, you also rely on it to be up to date. And Search Phones manages to do this. It pulls the public instance, like everything that's public is updated daily. And of course, if you set it up yourself, which you can do, then you can update it even more frequently. Also, there is one problem with this CP concept, which Matthias kind of went into a little bit. There's this catalog provided by the NVD with all the known CPEs. And the problem also here is that the NVD is lagging behind a little bit, which is totally understandable. There's a lot of software products out there, a lot of versions getting released, maybe daily, weekly. But ultimately, this leads to some CPEs, especially for like newer software versions, to not be in this catalog. Then if you kind of just use this catalog to find your CPE for a user input, you might not find a CPE, and then you might not be able to find vulnerabilities for it. CertFrons kind of tackles this a little bit by creating its own CPEs in a way, by using this existing data and then combining it with the user's query. And then you get like syntax-wise and semantically correct CPE they can still use to search for vulnerabilities. And there's also the fifth principle for us as pen testers and security consultants is including the actual results in a report. So we kind of wanted to find a good solution there too. And lastly, in some cases and situations, we don't always have internet access, so we really wanted to have search phones work offline as well, just as it does online. What I kind of a little bit forgot to mention is that this consolidating of multiple data sources is handled in a modular fashion, which is kind of maybe shown here a little bit better with the architecture. On the right-hand side, you can see kind of the module section. That's divided into four separate phases, which I won't talk in detail about now. But essentially, all of these individual modules can attach to the input of the phases and then deliver output out of these phases. And then the search phone's core, like in the center here, kind of merges that together and provides it to the user on the left-hand side, either via a command line interface tool, via a web application, or also like a programmatic Python API. And as for the modules that we currently have and the databases that we use, that's of course like as the central pillar kind of the NVD originally, but that's also especially recently become more the GitHub Security Advisor database as well, and Vulnchecks NVD++, which is like this check mark. We also have other data included, like for example, for backpatches by Linux distributions, currently only Debian, but we're planning on including Red Hat and Ubuntu too. And lastly, for us as pen testers, it's also important that if we do find a vulnerability, are there any exploits for it? Can we exploit it in some way? So we also include the exploit DB, for example, or POC in GitHub. And yeah, how CertFrons actually looks like, how you can use it, I want to show you now with a short demo. Here, that's essentially like the main landing page and homepage, and you directly are confronted with this prompt that you can just search some software for or in. For example, Greylog, and then it suggests you some CPEs, and probably the most fitting one would be the top here. So you can select that, and you will be shown the vulnerabilities for that version. Kind of important to mention here is also that we immediately see in the third row that there's also a vulnerability that doesn't have a CVE identifier, and so if you just use CVEs and the NVD, you wouldn't be able to find this. And that's just, again, beneficial to include multiple data sources. Speaking of that, you could also see that Greylog 5.02 is end of life and out of date, which is provided by an integration for the endoflife.date database. Up here, you can see that there's some filtering options, like first a configuration, which I won't go into detail now. And there's also filtering options where you can select only certain vulnerabilities, for example. There's also like the attributes that you can select. For example, you can decide to show the EPSS score, which in this case isn't available because that currently only applies to CVEs, which first has it set up this way, the maintainer of the EPSS. And ultimately, what you want to do is export all of this, so you can copy that to Markdown or CSV into the clipboard and then paste it into your report. Another query I want to show you would be Tomcat 9.0.22. And essentially, the only thing I want to show here is this kind of warning here that it shows you, okay, this vulnerability is known to have been exploited in the wild, which is managed by another module that kind of just references this known exploit vulnerabilities catalog. And there's also some other warnings that I won't talk about in detail now, but they give you like more information about vulnerabilities as well. Like for example, if there's contradictions in the data sources, you're made aware of that as a user and can then decide if it truly affects the software you create or not. One final query I want to show is Squid 5.7.2 on Debian 12. because there's some kind of other message here that tells you, okay, typically the software would be affected by these vulnerabilities, but Debian, as the system distributor, has fixed this vulnerability in a backpatch, and so you see that this vulnerability doesn't affect the software anymore. And also here you see that it's up to date though, and that just uses the Debian security tracker. Right, and that's essentially it about Search Fonts. There's some other things, for example, like if you want to read more about how Search Fonts works in detail, there's plenty of information. You can also ask me, and there's also a more detailed video that goes into this, a little bit more details about the demo and the whole CP concept and everything. And yeah, that's essentially it. With this, I would give it back to Matthias to conclude the presentation.
Thank you, Dustin. All right, final thing that Dustin also mentioned. So this is open source. It's also online already available. We have QR codes in a second. We also have stickers with us, which we can share with you later. So you can definitely check it out. It is super helpful for us in our daily work. And therefore, we really, really enjoy using it, and we wanted to share it with the community. Just to sum up the talk, I think we've seen this is a very complex topic in the ecosystem of vulnerability management. And actually finding information about known vulnerabilities shouldn't be this hard. That's why we wanted to make a small contribution with Search Wolves. And with that, I think we conclude the talk. Thank you very much for your attention, and enjoy the conference.
Yeah, thank you, Matthias and Dustin. We have perhaps 1 minute time for a short question. Is there any question to the both? Yes, there is one.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the presentation. I have a question. One of the challenges that you presented at the beginning was the huge backlog of NVD. So can you elaborate more, and why did you present it? How does your tool solve this issue?
So the challenge is that the NVD is tasked with enriching the CVE data. So the CVE gets registered by the CNA, and then NVD starts to work on it with the information that is publicly available. And it just has a huge backlog of doing so. And by combining different data sources, for example, the GitHub security advisories, some vendor security advisories, there is even like a EU, European Union vulnerability database now, different institutions and projects try to, you know, pick up the speed when it comes to publishing this information and collecting this information. And by combining all of these different data sources and search wounds, we want to make the information as a whole more accessible.
Wonderful. Thank you once again. And
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Enjoy the conference.
Thank you.